You are now listening to a podcast from Cambridge University Press. And here's your host, Professor Jack C. Richards.
Today I want to talk about some of the things that make up an effective language lesson. What are some of the factors that contribute to an effective language lesson? I'm going to look at eight dimensions of what I understand by an effective language lesson. First of all, we expect the lesson to reflect high professional standards. Language teaching, like other professions, is built around standards, and these reflect how you behave, what you know, and how you conduct yourself in the classroom. Many schools and ministries of education have documents that describe the standards that are expected of their teachers. You're expected to plan your lessons according to the ministry's curriculum, for example, to take account of students' differences in learning styles, and so on. So your professional standards will be reflected in many aspects of your teaching, for example, by the degree of knowledge and skill that's demonstrated in your teaching, by the extent to which your lessons reflect careful planning, and by the extent to which you control your emotions in the classroom, the type of interaction you have with your students. So all of these things reflect, if you like, the professional standards of teachers, and maintaining professional standards is crucial both inside and outside of the classroom. The second principle is that your lesson should reflect sound principles of language teaching. It's not something that you simply made up on the spur of the moment. Language teaching is a field of specialization. It's a discipline drawing on a considerable body of knowledge and practice. So you're expected to have qualifications and training that introduce you to the principles of communicative language teaching, to the principles of content-based teaching, or whatever methodology you're using. So a good language lesson should reflect the specialized thinking and knowledge of an educated language teaching professional. Every one of your lessons should reflect a solid understanding of what language learning involves, what teaching style is appropriate for young children or older learners, taking into account their needs as well as their learning styles and preferences. So regardless of the type of training you've experienced, it's important to be familiar with current instructional methods and their underlying principles, as well as with effective classroom techniques, materials, and assessment strategies. And the Cambridge pedagogical booklets that I and other authors have written are an attempt, of course, to help provide you with some of this professional background. The third dimension has to do with outcomes. Your lesson, an effective lesson, should address meaningful learning outcomes. In other words, it should be clear to you and to the learners that they have learned something useful and practical. This may reflect the goals you have written for the lesson. It may also reflect the framework provided by the Common European Framework, which describes what learners are able to do at different points along their learning path, and with a set of can-do statements, such as we find in some of my course books, for example, and also in the Common European Framework, with these as a reference point, both the teacher and the learners can focus on using English for meaningful communication. So there should be clearly observable learning outcomes. The students are not just doing things for the sake of doing them, but the activities that they do are leading them towards the outcomes that the lesson is trying to deliver. The fourth principle: the lesson should provide opportunities for learners to take part in extended practice with using language in a meaningful way. Sometimes we try to do too many things in a lesson, and I think it's better to do more with less than to try to cram too much into a lesson. So some of the questions we need to think about is, what kind of language learning opportunities did the lesson provide? How many opportunities were there for students to practice meaningful use of the language? Are all of the students participating in the lesson, or are you just teaching to half of the class? How you organize the class is one way of achieving this, changing the class seating arrangement from time to time, moving around the class, not always teaching the class from the front, for example, so that more of the class are involved with you, are interacting with you during the course of a lesson. So does your lesson provide opportunities for your learners to take part in extended practice? If a student leaves a lesson and all he or she has done is mouth a few words or practice one or two sentences, that's not a very useful lesson for him or her. How much practice did the lesson provide? Fifth principle is related to classroom management. Your lesson is effectively managed. Classroom management refers to ways in which you arrange both the physical and the social dimensions of the class to provide an environment that supports teaching and learning. Nobody can learn effectively in the classroom if some of the students are not paying attention, if they do not treat their teacher or with other classmates with respect. So good classroom management is a prerequisite to an effective lesson. Sometimes you walk into a class and you see there's a very supportive and positive atmosphere in that classroom. Students are relaxed and focused and they work well together as a group or community. In other classes, it's evident that the students have no desire to be there and they make little effort to support their teachers or classmates. So experienced teachers have a repertoire of procedures at their fingertips to help arrange students in groups, to handle equipment and lesson procedures, to respond to interruptions and disruptions. And teachers deal with management issues differently depending on the kind of class they're teaching and their relationship with their students and their own individual teaching style. But it's something we have to keep in mind at all times. How effectively is the behavior of the students during the lesson managed? Sixth principle, the lesson should be a coherent sequence of learning activities that link together to form a whole. It's not just a random assortment of bits and pieces that were thrown together to fill up class time. There should be a structure, a sequence of opening activities, activities that blend one to the other and that also support each other so that they lead towards and help develop the skills needed to achieve the learning outcomes. So it's often useful to make students aware of the sequence or structure that you've planned for a lesson. You might write a brief lesson outline on the board before the lesson begins, just showing the kinds of activities the students will take part in and the purpose of what these activities are. Let the students know what they'll be expected to do during the lesson, and this gives them a sense that they're taking part in a lesson that's been well planned and organized. And of course, another benefit of making sure everyone knows how the lesson will play out is that late-coming students can be oriented to which part of the lesson has already been taught. Seventh principle, I think, of an effective lesson is that it creates a motivation to learn and provides opportunities for success. No student will enjoy a lesson if it was too difficult for him or her, or if he or she felt that they were unable to carry out the activities that the lesson provided for them. Lessons should be purposeful, leaving students a feeling, a sense of achievement. So one of the things we have to do is to develop a classroom atmosphere that encourages and motivates students in their learning. Perhaps you can recall some of the most inspiring language teachers that you had as a student and what made these teachers different and special. Perhaps it's the fact that they were enthusiastic about their teaching. They also set high expectations for you, and the relationships they had with their students were positive and supportive. This kind of enthusiasm can be communicated in different ways, of course. You have to show that you're enthusiastic about what you're teaching, about the book that you're using, and about the kind of expectations for success that you have set for the lesson. Make sure that weaker students are also supported so that everyone has an opportunity to learn from the lesson. Establish a warm, a caring attitude towards the students in the class and build up a positive class atmosphere. So the emotional side of a lesson, the affective side, is a very important part of a lesson. The last principle I want to mention here is that the lesson should also reflect your own personal approach to teaching. You'll have learned how to use different methods in your teacher training program, but when you get into the classroom, you need to personalize these to learn how to teach in your way based on the kind of person you are and how you see your role in the classroom. This doesn't, of course, mean that you abandon everything you learned during your training. Rather, it means that as you gain experience, you need to interpret and understand what it means to be a language teacher, what values, beliefs, theories, and assumptions you will use to guide you in your teaching. What are your principles? And these should be obvious to your supervisor, to someone who's observing your teaching, and also to your students. They might be things like, you know, make learning fun, make learning relaxing, make learning personal. So as you plan and deliver your lessons, you'll undoubtedly encounter opportunities to build these principles into your teaching, and these, along with your training, will determine the type of teacher you turn out to be.